Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here, 13th and Central, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete. And Ben Botham sitting across from me. First of all, I want to recognize our affiliates, 106.1 FM, of course, AM 1340. That's Clearwater, Tampa, St. Pete, 102.3 FM and AM 1350. And that's in Dade City. And then, of course, 104.2 FM, AM 1400 Zephyr Hills. And we will be on in Lake City next weekend. And then, of course, each and every day, you can get our 2-minute sports update on Sunshine 96.7 FM, RadioSt.Pete.com. It's we'll go to our Facebook. We put it on. Have you seen it on Facebook? Oh, you don't even do social media.
I got an Instagram and a Twitter, Mike, but I don't have a Facebook, unfortunately.
Well, I would tell you right now, Joe Geiger, the young kid from Boca Ciega, he's now playing soccer. Has done a heck of a job for our 2-minute sports update. You can hear it each and every day though on the airwaves or go to our Facebook page. All right, let's share a little of your in-depth research here before we dive into a conversation with our good friend Randy Grimes.
Yeah, well, I'll start off with, since we were doing football, I'll start off with the college passing record, or not record, but leaders this year.
There's only one reason you're doing this.
Yeah, there is one reason, and that's because my Georgia Southern Eagles quarterback, Kyle Van Treese, is in fifth place, Mike.
That's impressive. And I do like the fact that they beat the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Anybody who beats the Nebraska Cornhuskers is my next favorite team. So your alma mater, where you got your master's, is my next favorite team.
I appreciate that, Mike. We even beat out Stenson Bennett, who was in sixth place for passing yards.
Yeah, well, I think he's got a little hardware, like a national championship and an MVP sitting in his living room.
Yeah, he might.
But bravo, that's cool.
But who do you think came in first, Mike? Can you take a wild guess here?
Wild guess. Was it USC?
It was Western Kentucky.
My Hilltoppers.
Yep, Austin Reed led.
Well, the Hilltoppers are gradually taking over the backup mecca for the NFL. They got Mike White at the Jets. They've got what's the kid's name at the Patriots. It'll come to me in a minute. Zappy. So that's good to know. That kid will probably go to the NFL. We'll have three quarterbacks from the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
What do they say? That's the best job in professional sports, backup quarterback?
Carrying a clipboard, making millions, and not getting your, you know what, Rang?
Hey, I'll take that job any day of the week. But sticking with the college stuff, I know I'm no college basketball fan, but have you seen this kid, Connor Williams? He goes by the name Big Cozy of St. John Fisher University. It's a D3, and he is standing 7 feet tall, 360 pounds, Mike.
7 foot tall, 360?
Oh, he's a big boy.
D3. He takes up the entire paint.
This is the scouting report on him, Mike. He has a soft touch, and he has a nice jump hook around the rim and has a consistent floater.
Who in the hell could cover him?
He can even step out behind the arc and shoot a three-pointer from time to time.
I saw a kid that when I was doing the play-by-play up there at Northside Christian. He came down from Louisiana, and he's probably about 6'7", three bills.
Yeah.
He looked like Baby Huey. You don't even know who that is, but he looked like Baby Huey.
I wouldn't want to go up against him, but he averages 2.9 points and 2.4 rebounds on 6.7 minutes per game in his six appearances this season. And so, you know, he's not putting up a lot of points, but if you're a
fan, he's getting a lot of media attention, yeah, social media attention.
And you can even buy his T-shirt now, Mike. You can go find it online, and $5 of it goes to a charity. So that's kind of nice to hear. You know, he's doing something there, but and a very interesting guy on the court.
He's one of those kids, NIL kids.
Oh, yeah, probably making a mint.
Exactly.
But
influencer.
Hockey's been blown up right now. Steven Stamkos, he scored his 500th goal, and now he joins only 47 others who have reached that mark.
Well, I know it was a long time coming. They kept having to put off the celebrations, but that's great. And I like to see the Tampa Bay Lightning continue their success. I think they've won 5 out of the last 6, in fact.
Yeah, and more big news for the Lightning. They're doing their inaugural Hall of Fame class for the 30th anniversary. And it's going to be 12 nominees to be inducted. And we as fans are even able to vote on it. So if you beginning Monday at 9 a.m. and running through 5 p.m. Sunday, January 29th, on the Lightning's new team app, you can go on there and vote for who you believe should be in the Lightning Hall of Fame.
All right. And like I said, starting it was yesterday, you can buy spring season tickets.
Yeah,
right here at the Trop, which is, you know, because of Hurricane Ian, they were unable to get the facility ready for spring ball, and that bodes well for us here at Ferg's or and baseball fans in general, because obviously the capacity over there is larger. You got the Mets coming to town, which rarely happens, and that's the day we're going to have a big party down here at Ferg's.
Yeah, and even more baseball news. The World Baseball Classic is quickly approaching, and the groups have been...
Is that down in Bradenton?
So the closest one to us is going to be in Miami. So in Miami, that's Pool D. They play from March 11th to the 15th. You'll have Puerto Rico, Venezuela, the Dominican Republic, Israel, and Nicaragua all down in Miami.
Imagine that.
Team USA is going to be in Phoenix, Arizona, with Mexico, Colombia, Canada, and Great Britain.
So all right. Great Britain?
Great Britain's going to be participating.
They're going to get slaughtered.
Yeah, Czech Republic is also going to be
participating. They'll get slaughtered.
Tibet will be participating. Panama, Italy, Cuba, a lot of big names in there as well.
Hans is wondering, will Germany be in there?
Germany will not be in there.
No Germany? Okay. No, so, all right.
Yeah, but it should be great. I'm really excited for it. Hopefully I'll make it down to a game down there in Miami. But one of the big news in sports, Mike, because I know how much you like your boxing, and I know you're not a huge fan of, MMA, UFC.
Not at all.
But I will say, I think you're going to be a fan of this one. If you like a big knockout, you're going to like the slap.
Now, what is the slap? I can't believe my whole family knows what the slap is, and I haven't heard of it.
So it's Dana White's new fighting league. It's man on man, woman on woman.
Of course, Dana White.
Yeah. Visionary genius.
Genius.
Oh, are you kidding me, Mike?
He's taking us back to the Roman Empire.
Yeah, but hey, he's making a
gladiators. It's legal street fighting.
Believe me, I'm not
the sweet science of boxing.
I agree with you. I like to watch my Rocky movies and enjoy a little bit of boxing, but this is going to be airing on TBS, and it's called The Power Slap, I believe is the actual title.
Oh my God.
Television. So you have the two fighters standing attention, and they both or one of the guy receiving the slap, the slap E, is going to be holding his hands behind.
Slap E?
Yes.
They're getting your ass beat. You can the slap E?
Yes, the slap E.
What's your son do? He's a slap E.
He holds his hands behind his back, and he's not allowed to flinch, all right? Flinching's if you flinch, you get points deducted, or you can even be forfeit the match.
How low can we go in America?
Mike, you got to watch this because there are some big hits.
Well, everybody's going to watch it just to see what it's about.
It's great. And the guy who slaps. So when you slap, it has to be open face and it has to all arrive at the same time. You cannot club, which is leading with the heel of your hand.
But, how many broken jaws are going to take place in this thing?
See, that's another part of it. The slap must be open-handed, and it must be on the cheek, below the eye, and above the chin. And there are 3 rounds, Mike. And if at the end of the 3 rounds, one of the people is not knocked out or...
You have to knock them out or knock them down?
Yeah, well, they get knocked down almost every slap. But if at the end of the 3 rounds, it goes down to a judge's decision.
My God.
And it's judged just like boxing or UFC. But it is legendary, Mike. Every time you watch it, somebody is getting rocked.
All right.
Laid down.
Well, we digress here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, but it was of interest, and that's what's going to happen. This is a lot more interesting, talking to my buddy Randy Grimes, former Baylor Bear, and, of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneers starting offensive center for 9 years. And now he's out spreading the good word. He's a superb gentleman, and he's kind enough to take time to join us on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. What's going on, my man?
Hey, buddy, how are you? What's going on?
Well, just another day in paradise. Well, actually, if you would have come down, we wimped out today. We were concerned about the rain, so we're just sitting. You've sat in here with us. We're sitting in the front room. And see you guys. My family's all leaving. There's Rachel, Hans. Yeah, I had an actual audience here today, Randy, and they actually were clapping for me because they have to. They're family.
You mean, and they're leaving now that I'm coming on?
Yeah, I hate to tell you, they just bolted, brother. Yeah.
That's sad. I'm sorry, man.
That doesn't happen to a Randy Grimes.
I'm sorry.
We didn't catch up with you last week. I just got done talking to Lynn Munoz and had a little fun with it because I went over to the Bucks and Cowboys game, and obviously very disappointing for the alumni of the Bucks and the fan base and the players. But I asked her during that era, and she was 76 to 82. I said, how did you stay energized and, you know, enthusiastic through that period? And more importantly, I got to ask you guys, you know, that were in the trenches during those tough years. You just focus on Randy Grimes, the player, and do your best. Is that the best way to get through the times like that?
Yeah, I mean, and you always have hope. You always have hope that that year is going to be the big year, you know, that you're never one or two players away from, achieving your goals, that you actually have everybody in place. So, you know, you come in every year full of hope and everything. And, you know, like I said, my best season ever was 6-10. And, you know, we just never could get it going. You know, I played for 5 different head coaches and 6 different offensive line coaches. So, I mean, the turnover and, you know, there was never any real consistency with the Bucks in the 80s and early 90s. And even back, you know, when they started off in 76, I can't imagine what those guys went through, but at least they had an excuse, you know, that they were a new franchise that they were building. And we didn't have that excuse. We just had a huge turnover of coaching staff and players. We were a revolving door of everybody. Coaches, players, front office people, everything.
So was there a lot of one and done with head coaches during that period?
You know what? I don't know what Culverhouse was looking for. You know, I know he brought in Lehman after Coach McKay retired. And I'm not sure what that was all about. And then Coach Perkins came in, and he was going to be Culverhouse's next Bear Bryant and all that. And I had a good relationship with Coach Perkins, and I think he did a great job. For some reason, I just don't think we had enough. We didn't have the right players for his scheme. And then, you know, Richard Williamson came in for a year, and then Sam Wash for that last year. And, you know, it was just we were always changing offenses, always, you know, the plays were always changing, the terminology was always changing. And that was on offense. So, of course, the same was going on defense. And we could just never get any real consistency going. And, you know, we couldn't, even on the offensive line, you know, and I know I'm talking about a whole team, but for example, the offensive line, you know, I couldn't get the same 5 guys out there every year, year after year, and getting some continuity going. And it just never would happen.
So the Bucks fans today, you know, that are mired in misery after this season with only the 8 wins, and the Glazers are staying pat with Todd Bowles. You think that's a good move because you got to develop some continuity, but now they're going to be looking for a new OC and a staff, and looks like a starting quarterback. Do you think they're going to take a step back and get back to those years without the consistency that is tough to build a successful program around?
Well, I don't know if they're taking a step back, but they're definitely not taking a step forward. You know, I'm not sold on Coach Bowles. I'm not sure he's the right fit for that team. But you know what? If that's the way they want to go, then we rebuild around him, and we go out and look for a quarterback that's going to take us to the next level, whoever that might be. Do we already have him here at home, or do we need to go out and get him? So, in my opinion, I wish they would have just cleaned house. If they're going to do what they're doing now, and that's firing five different offensive, coaches, and they're telling who off defense they're going to fire, I wish they would just go out and clean house and bring in a whole new staff, and or bring Aaron's back. You know, either way, whatever it takes to start winning again, and that seemed to be a winning formula for a little while.
Well, it definitely did, and when you take a look at this past year, one of the topics that you just highlighted was you never got any continuity in the offensive line, and I don't think the fan base realizes how much impact that offensive line not having continuity makes in the offense, makes in the quarterback, makes in success. I mean, there was guys injured in and out all year, and the center position, the quarterback that you were, obviously the most instrumental.
Well, it's not just in the offensive line. It's in the defensive line. It's in linebackers. It's in the secondary. You know, you've got to be able to know what the guy next to you is going to do, and you only know that by playing with him, game after game after game, week after week after week. So you've got to have some kind of continuity. You can't just put a new guy in there every week or every 2 weeks and think that the guy next to him is going to know where he's at, can depend on him, and can relate, can know what's going to happen on any given play with the guy next to you. So, it's not just the offensive line, but it's very important with the offensive line, only because there's so many different schemes that the defense throws at you, that you've got to be able to rely on the guy next to you and know that he's going to be there, that he's going to pick up the different twists and things that are going on in the defensive line. And you've just got to have confidence that the guy's going to be there, because it really affects the way you play. It affects the way you set, whether you set left or right on a guy. And, that's huge with quarterback, and especially somebody like Tom Brady, who's a pocket passer, who sits back in the middle, and you've really got to give him time, or you've got to give him room to be able to step up. And the first time, he hits his hand on a helmet of somebody or he gets hit back there, then that changes his whole way that he's looking at the pocket. And that, it's a scary thing for a quarterback back there.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're having a conversation with former Buck, Randy Grimes. And I guess last question, then I want to dive into your book and your Super Bowl tour you're going to be taking here shortly. The fans saw the TB12, Tom Brady going off on the offensive line often this year, and then trying to, obviously also try to encourage him. As the starting center and you're doing your job, the other guys are not, and he collectively is just reaming you. How's an individual take that, or you just realize you're taking one for the team and it's not a personal attack?
Yeah, it's never a personal attack. I mean, he is who he is. Steve DeBerg was who he was. Steve Young was who he was. Those guys are going through a lot back there, and they're having a lot to. When you're dropping back 7 yards and you're looking for different routes that are open and doing your keys and everything, there's a lot going on back there, and you just really don't need anybody in your face. So, I understand why those guys would come to the sideline and ream out somebody that's not doing their job, because we're all professionals, and we're all expected to do our job, whatever that might be, whether it's left tackle, right tackle, guard, center. And, it's almost like it's a combination of let's fire you up, and also let's get your ass in gear, and let's try to start forming a pocket there that I can throw from. Let's do our job. So, whether it's Tom Brady or, like I said, whether it's Tom Brady or Steve DeBerg or anybody else, that's their job, is to be the leader of the offense.
Yeah, so I got a feeling Tom Brady's probably not going to be back here next year. Probably going back to the Dolphins after all that happened during this offseason and, you know, them discussing when they weren't allowed to. But I had the theory that Derek Carr might be coming to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What do you think about him in our system?
Well, he's got some great stats. He's had some great years lately. He's right up there with some of the top quarterbacks in the league, so why not? You know, why would he not be a candidate to help us get to the next level again? So if that happened, I would be more than excited about that.
Yeah, when you look at the other options, I think that would be a great addition for the Bucs moving forward. And a lot of it's going to depend also on the offensive coordinator. Hey, one other thing. Do you think that they should have started Ryan Jensen against the Cowboys? It was a little early, but given, you know, the emotional piece of it certainly helped out. But you know better than anybody listening. If you've got some rust, you've got rust, and some of that showed.
Yeah, a lot of rust. And, you know, you can't expect a guy to sit out. Even a guy of Ryan's caliber, you can't expect him to sit out all year and then just jump right back in at playoff time when everybody has upped their game and it's moving so much faster, stronger, quicker, you know, than it ever has. You can't expect somebody just to jump back in there and be who he was at one time. And, you know, I'm surprised that they threw him to the wolves like that, but you know what? I'm sure he had a lot to do with that. He was the one begging to come back in. And, you know, we as players want to put ourselves through tests that, you know, maybe we're not prepared for. But, you know, the guy sat out all year and he was itching to get back in there. So, you know, I commend him for wanting to jump in there. I just don't think he was ready.
Yeah, he's a warrior. All right, so the book is Off Center by Randy Grimes. Let's talk a little bit about the book. And of course, Super Bowl week, you will be out there on Super Bowl Row, on Media Row, and your annual trek out there. I'm sure you're looking forward to that and advancing the book. And again, I keep telling you, we got to get down here for a book signing.
I know. I'm ready. Make it happen. Yeah, this is my 14th consecutive year going to the Super Bowl and plug in not only pro athletes in recovery, but the second consecutive year of plug in my book, Off Center. And so I encourage everybody to go to offcenterthebook.com, look at that, or go to my website, proathletesinrecovery.org. You can get it. You can order it from there. But I'm excited about it. You know, I always love the Super Bowl. I love the week of festivities leading up to the game. And it's always great to reconnect with a lot of guys and different media from around the country, which you can only do at the Super Bowl at Radio Row.
All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate you taking time out. I know you're not on the beach today. It's not a beach day. That's why we're inside.
What's up with that?
I look forward to a conversation from you, giving us a breakdown of Media Row and your trip to the Super Bowl.
Well, sounds good, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me on today.
Absolutely. He's Randy Grimes. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and Brad Richardson will go over our prep connection and body armor, and then I'll wind things down with Alex Reba and Ben Botham kicking around some topics as we wind things down on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay.
barbwithchampabay@gmail.com or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Tampa Bay. Give her a call today. 813-564-4134. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters. Visit RadioSaintPete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSaintPete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSaintPete.com is where local music lives.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Hi, from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And a little cloudy, a little dreary day. So we're brightening it up on our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm Mike Rickard, across from Ben Botham, and Brad Richardson's going to get us caught up on our body armor prep connection. And then Alex Reba just in the house. Oh, there he is. He bent over. Like, where the hell did he go? But we're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. Well, Brad, I haven't seen you for a while, and you know what? We're getting rave reviews. You are. On oh, wow. The play-by-play that we did up there at Sunbash, and I had Perper on last week.
Oh, Jake was. All right.
Yeah, we had a nice conversation. Buddy, but you did a superb job, and you're getting a lot of views on the – and I'll tell you what, you don't like basketball, but it was synchronized properly. Great job of covering high school sports and basketball, especially this time. Only one problem, the color guy. He was a clown. he and Pat Donatelli, his buddy, who's an NBA official, we are like the Manning brothers on Monday Night Football. And here's poor Brad over to my right, trying to do the play-by-play, and he and I are commenting and entertaining people while he's trying to give you what's going on the friggin' floor in front of us. So we shut that that down the next day, and things went smoothly for Brad Richardson, who did a superb job. So what do you got for us today in our body armor prep connection?
Well, I tell you what, the season is boys basketball is winding down. I have 39 days to go before the state championships over in...
Wow, time flies.
39 days to go. And districts, of course, is starting in a few weeks. But let's just break it down real quick. Boys basketball, I tell you what, Calvary Christian is still on a roll, 15-4 record. Get this, they are right now number one in Class 3A Region 3 and ranked number 22 in the state of Florida. This is according to Max Preps, of course. So,
and I was impressed with that team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they definitely show. I mean, you look at Daniel McGregor, who recently...
That kid's a baller.
...just joined the 1,000-point club for his high school career, and he's only a junior. So think about how much...
McGregor's a junior?
He's a junior.
And he's got Stetson looking at him right now. I know right. that.
Yeah, he's got them looking at him.
Well,
yeah.
that'll change because that kid, he's a baller. I like that kid.
Absolutely. You know, 281 points so far this season.
He took two games over that we watched.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did really good. So, and then, of course, you know, he's got, you know, each game he's getting 21.6 points per game, 95 rebounds. Then look at Ace Taylor. Look at him, junior as well, 6'6". And with 218 points.
He's a beanpole, but he's a heck of a player.
Yeah, he's very agile. He moves down the court very quickly, you know, really knows how to control the ball. And then, of course, Mr. Setagumu himself, Dominic, at 147 points. So, yeah, Calvary's doing great. On to Eastlake, Britt Taylor. Always doing great, molded team. We saw them obviously at Northside Christian.
Started out hot and that the game we watched. Was it Calvary that
Calvary.
Beat them?
Yeah, Calvary. Yep. They, I mean, absolutely. And currently right now, Eastlake ranked number 40 in the state of Florida and number 4 in Class 7A. I mean, take a look at who they got on that team. We saw a lot of great ones. Albert Lacey, so far 324 points this season. I mean, the kid absolutely could move down the court. Then you have Hurst Jr., Henry Hurst Jr., 314 points this season. And none other than one of my favorite guys watching that game is Justin Kruszewski. Remember Justin?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
absolutely. 284 points so far and 23 points per game. So, again, great. And now
we saw a lot of talent that 2 days we were up there.
Absolutely. Look at Florida State High School, Florida State University High School.
I mean, Charlie Ward bringing his gang down from Tallahassee. Oh, my God. Was that impressive? Gainesville. Tallahassee.
Yeah. Now, speaking of impressive, we all remember Gibbs during that. Remember how Gibbs, you know, that
they have turned things around.
Yeah, double overtime right now. 13-5 record, though. I mean, Larry Murphy, look what he continues to do down there. Right now, Gibbs is ranked number 17 in Class 4A and ranked number 85 in the state of Florida. So, I mean, let's talk about, you know, who they have on the team. Jacob Daniels, 259 points so far this season, 15 points per game. So, I mean, definitely out there and all that. So now, Mr. Chris Blackwell over with the St. Pete Green Devils.
Just talked to him this week. He was going to try to bring. They're playing in Orlando, I think, today.
Yep. Yeah, they have a tournament going on there right now. 13-4 record, ranked number 67 in the state of Florida as of right now, number 10 in Class 5A. Let's go to none other than Mr. Quez Curry Jr. Remember how he moved during that tournament?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
absolutely. I mean, God.
We thought maybe he needed to give the rock up a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, he was like McGregor. I'll say that.
I was calling him a little Allen Iverson.
Yeah, that's actually
That's kind of how his game was, but that kid is a talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, Quez Curry Jr., 184 points so far this season. Just averages about 8 points per game. And none other than the other guy I love talking about is Sam Duckworth. I mean, Duckworth, he is a massive, massive beast down there. I mean, you don't even want to get in this guy's way. He will just run you over. So, I mean, 161 points so far this season and 7.3 points per game. Now, off to Coach Scola, Northside Christian, 13-6 record. I mean, God, we got to talk about his own son, Skyler.
Skyler's playing
270 points per game, 270 points this season. Hayden McCain, 178 points this season. And other than Sam Knight, who definitely shined a lot during that tournament, 85 points so far this season. And Carmelo Hinton, 81 points.
So, Skola and McCain have been playing together since they were like 8 years old.
Yeah. I mean, they all.
Great tandem.
They all know each other. I mean, with anything you go through AAU, whether it be baseball, basketball, et cetera, these guys know each other. They know their strengths, their weaknesses, everything. So they all know how to compete and all that. And so just one last thing, you know, with boys basketball, one of the things that you talked about just a minute ago with McGregor hitting the 1,000 point achievement and all that. I mean, you have Adrian Moore also. This guy's a junior at Largo, and then he got the same thing, 1,000 points. So that's been something very consistent this year, even with girls, which we'll get to in a second. A lot of them have hit that 1,000-point mark. So,
you know what I was most impressed with, and you know that, I always look at the state of Florida being an outsider as a football and baseball state, and it primarily is. However, that was the display of athleticism and talent, the 16 teams that came to that invitational we broadcast, I was very impressed. All the way, you know, and we had teams from Louisiana, New York City,
yep,
from Brooklyn, and then, of course, we had probably one of the better teams in the Southeast was a former Heisman Trophy winner and starting point guard for the New York Knicks and the most humble man on the planet, Charlie Ward, bringing his basically all-star team down from Florida State High School.
Yeah.
And that was an impressive squad, too.
Absolutely. I mean, they're
reigning state champs, and it looks like another one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just looking at, you know, what he showed on the court with those guys and all, I mean, that's why they were number one. That's why they won the state championship last year.
And disciplined.
And yeah, very disciplined.
Very disciplined.
I mean, I don't think you would ever sit there and try to argue with Charlie Ward. I think that's just you're just going to lose.
Well, it's respect. He isn't a big screamer. He doesn't have to be. Yeah. But when you're blessed to have a Heisman Trophy winner and a guy that played for 12 years in the NBA.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's got some street cred, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's an all-around athlete.
Yeah, just a tad.
Absolutely. So now in the girls' basketball, we have none other than Gibbs. Gibbs, of course, always, you know, obviously dominant when it comes to basketball. They're a legacy in this county with that 16-4 record. You have Coach Hannah Costin in there. I mean, this team is ranked number 17 in Class 4A in the state of Florida. Just to give, you know, a shout out to one of their players on there, Jaquavia Ferguson, 280 points this season so far, averaging 16 points this season. So, and then now we're back to Calvary. Calvary Christian is, of course, you know, obviously how they've been doing. I mean, baseball is coming up soon, so we'll get to see what they're going to do. But right now, 9-9, Kevin Hall, just like Kev Burley, They're, you know, obviously a great team, and obviously they have been showing what they've been able to put on the court. You have Zoe Rain, I think is how you say that name. Sorry if I said it wrong. 230 points this season so far, 13.5 points per game. And then the other one to look out for on that going into the playoffs would be Julia Matheny, 190 points for the season so far, and averaging 10 points per game. So, and so then now we go to Eastlake, another one we have in all this. So record 16 and 5, Avery Chapman. Avery Chapman right now, according to what this is telling me, so we'll have to look this up. According to this, it says 540 points so far this season.
Wow.
We'll check that again. I was looking at it earlier, and I was looking on one site, so I have to. I'll forgive me if I got that wrong. So anyway, Sydney Rush is the big one on Eastlake and all. Sydney, 229 points so far this season, averaging, get this, 12.7 points each game. I mean, that definitely is the standout of that team.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, none other than CCC, Clearwater Central Catholic themselves, 15-6 record. Steve Gowski is doing a great job over there. Just to see, I mean, each year they are hitting the playoff circuit constantly. So they're always a dominant force out there.
Typically, these teams of that caliber that have those losses, they're traveling the state and they're playing playing up to their competition. Yeah. And that only makes them better when they come back to their own district.
Absolutely. I mean, even when you look at football in the fall, I mean, you look at late.
Same scenario.
And yeah, look at what they were playing. They were a lot of these Broward County teams and everything like that, Miami at one point, too. So they're going to go where the competition is at. You have two of them, right? You have Callie Smitley, 119 points so far this season. And Alexis Benoit, I've been hearing a little bit about her. Alexis Benoit, 188 points this season so far. So, I mean, it's impressive. A couple honorable mentions here. We have Ava Graham. She's a junior from Keswick Christian. During the season, she actually finished with a team high of 31 points for one game, and she's another one. She joined the 1,000 point club. And same with Zoe Rain. Zoe Rain over at Calvary Christian. She also got the 1,000 point honor. So, and then one last one is Ace Servant over at Clearwater High School. She did the same thing. She reached her 1,000 point career plateau when they played Dr. Phillips High School over in Orlando. So,
thank you, Brad Richardson, our Body Armor Prep Connection. And we'll get that show launched here in February. Finally, getting all the pieces together. We're going to have a statewide radio network, gentlemen. We're joining the Florida Sports Network. Why don't we dive into the conversation? I don't even know what Alex has on his plate, but we'll just kind of use this round table. We'll let you you direct traffic, young man. Welcome back to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Happy New Year. Happy your Penn State Nittany Lions and their victory in the bowl game. I don't know what else to say to you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, yeah. Great, man.
It's been too long. Ashamed Oscar couldn't make it today, but
I know why you want to be here.
Did you notice?
I forgot you're a Giants fan. Are you just a Giants fan because of Chicago?
Not a Giants
fan. Barkley.
Saquon Barkley is the name on this jersey, and arguably my second favorite athlete of all time. So,
okay. I wondered at the last minute he gets a hold of me. He goes, yeah. Hey, can I come on the show today?
No, I mean it's going to be a tough game for them, but Saquon's finally getting back into his early season form here, it looks like, and I'm hoping that he can continue that against a pretty tough Eagles defense today. But yeah, I mean, back to the Penn State shout-out, too. That was a huge win over Utah in the Rose Bowl. Hopefully we can get some momentum going forward there, and maybe we make the Big Ten a little bit more competitive next year.
Well, as a Big Ten guy myself, there were some highs and some lows. High for me another pathetic offensive performance by my Iowa Hawkeyes was a shutout in the Music City Bowl, 24-0, and we needed every win we could to have the Big Ten get to the top of the conference success. And unfortunately, we didn't get there because the teams we thought were going to be successful did not.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
can you say Michigan, TCU?
Yeah, I was. Well, the semifinals, we actually finally got a good game this year, two good games, which
two great games.
Has been a rarity in the college football playoff up to this point. But unfortunately, no, the Big Ten did not come through for us in terms of putting wins in those big games. And I mean, the SEC, Oscar and I have been talking about it, but they're just a level above everybody else. And until Ohio State can, I don't know, maybe take that next little step up from where they've been, a consistent playoff team, but not a consistent playoff champion or even championship, you know, participant. And then obviously the teams like Penn State and Iowa and Wisconsin, they need to create some sort of semblance of a powerhouse program, which I don't know if that's going to happen with the NIL because we're still behind.
Unfortunately, what they've done to college football is the have. I know there's going to be a 12-team playoff system, but the haves and the have-nots just keep getting more one-sided. And look at Georgia right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the fact that they're taking it to Alabama.
Everyone enjoyed that.
And I like their program, and I like their leadership, and I like the way that they carry themselves on the field, and that's Coach Smart, and he's a former Bulldog. But it's a travesty that we're not going to see any semblance of parity in the future.
It doesn't seem like we will. Like you said, it's the haves and have-nots, and it feels like the teams that have the NIL money, that have the big donors, that have the ability to recruit the top players. It's certainly exciting to see guys like Coach Prime bringing a Colorado program back from the dead. I think that's going to be exciting for
Alex. You got to find stories to get emotionally involved in anymore, because if you're just going to base it on wins and losses, it's just going to be picked up the same 6-8 teams every year, and that's just the reality of where we're at.
It's also kind of making a deal with yourself to readjust where your goals are, because if you know going into the season you're probably not going to make it to the college football playoffs, but you can make it to the Rose Bowl, you're pretty happy. And
yeah, but that infuriates me that you have to adjust your goals because of the greed of the system that they developed. That's why I love the NFL model. The NFL model, by far, in all pro sports, you know, it makes the most sense. I know Mr. Ben Baseball Botham, you love baseball, but that's the most skewed, horrible. Look at the Mets going over $400 million right now with payroll. In college football, you luxury got the same
Mike, luxury tax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't care about. Well, you were saying that the luxury tax, as we divert for a second, that the luxury tax was advantageous to all the other owners, so they didn't care if you went on a spending spree. They're so done with Cohen right now. They're like, dude, turn it off. This is like LIV in golf with the Saudis. It just got the faucet turned on and just keep spending money.
Well, the big money is going to be for Shohei Ohtani when he comes on the market. They're saying that he might be the first $500 million contract.
This is out of control. Absolutely out of control. All right, let's get off baseball. Let's go back to this conversation. So we know in college football that it's going to be the haves and the have-nots, and as you said, you have to adjust your perception on what's going to take place. And that's the only stories you have. And the thing that really pisses me off is you're losing traditional matchups back in the day by all this conference jumping. Can't stand it.
The problem is that the teams that we've grown up watching and created rivalries and have created, like you said, the most interesting storylines are falling behind because it doesn't make fiscal sense to put these teams against one another. But at the end of the day, it's the sport is supposed to be for the entertainment factor. And you look at a Pitt, West Virginia. I came from Pittsburgh, and the Pitt, West Virginia game is a huge part of that city, and they filled up Heinz Field, an NFL stadium, with two college teams that ultimately usually gets maybe half full at best during a big matchup for a Pitt football team that usually has been solid but never been over the top exceptional. So, I mean, like you said, you lose the what makes college football special, which is those local teams, those local alumni bases that have created rivalries, that have created traditions, and I think that's what makes college football, in my opinion, a little bit more fun when it is competitive, when there is parity, than the NFL, because the NFL
precisely
is a model compared to NCAA, which is student athletes, which is what it was founded on.
Yeah, well, those days have gone away, the Dodo Bird, and then you got USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. Boy, logistically that's a brilliant move, but that's how much money is on the line, so it does make sense if you're making every decision based on the bottom line, being a financial man yourself.
The Big Ten is now the only major of the conferences to be in all four of the major time zones in the United States. I mean, when you think about how you can...
It's all about eyeballs.
It's all about the money. That TV, it's all about ratings.
I mean, and then obviously they just had that massive contract they signed to get the rights signed over. I mean, the Big Ten has made the steps it needs to stay competitive with the SEC. Once the SEC gets Oklahoma and Texas, they're going to be a pretty big perennial powerhouse if they haven't already been. But I as a huge college basketball fan, it's also kind of concerning to me to see how some of those kind of programs have adjusted, and we've lost great great conferences like the Big East. You know, I mean, it's a completely different landscape as we move forward.
You know what I like so far at this point in the NCAA college basketball season is that top 10 keeps changing every week, and some of the names that you're familiar with aren't dominating the top five spots, and that's great for the game, and it's going to be great for March Madness from a seeding perspective.
I think I saw today on game day that it was either 23 or 24 teams that were ranked lost in the past week.
I love that.
That's parity, and that's what people want to see. That makes March Madness all the more fun, and that's why I love the March Madness model. It's my favorite model because 68 teams that are qualified that have been decided upon. You know, there's always going to be a couple that should have made it, people think, but for the most part, the 68 most deserving teams get to play in the playoffs, and it's one game, you go home, you lose, or one game, you win, you keep going, and you have a shot to win it all, you know, and I think that's fantastic.
It's a wonderful model.
It's great, and the money that comes in for March Madness is massive, you know, so everybody wins from the finance.
NCAA will figure a way to screw that one up, too.
they already have tried them.
Oh, yeah, on numerous occasions. Look what they did with the women's situation, with the locker rooms. I mean, in this very, very watch what you do period that we exist in. All right, let's go back to NFL bandwagon rider. So you are a Giants fan, taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm a Daniel Jones guy because I pick up the New York Post every day, you know, and they were slaughtering this cat. Well, now they're talking about how, you know, Philadelphia has had the Giants in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. I think they've won 12 times to 4, and it looks like that might be the case. But the young guns are going to make a statement, I believe, in this game. Well, I think it's a 7.5-point spread right now.
Up to 8, I think.
Is it 8 now? And Not that you're a gambler. I think they have a legitimate shot. I like Daniel Jones, his composure. He's got Eli Manning's blessing. He's got the media's blessing in New York City. That goes a long ways, believe it or not. They think that they're helping him. I mean, the negative media is a big factor why the Jets and the Giants are not that successful. Nobody wants to go play there. You get slaughtered on a daily basis.
I think I completely agree with you in saying that I think this is going to be arguably the most competitive matchup of the four games. I mean, I think they all have the potential.
Ben thinks that the Jaguars are going to beat the Chiefs.
Like the Jaguars.
Ooh, okay, come on. Patrick Mahomes there, careful.
9.5-point dog.
As long as he doesn't have the 4 interceptions like he did. But, you know, the Chiefs, they've been playing with their food. They get a little cutesy, know. They like to do the
cutesy. Quit using that term on a sports show.
Down Mahomes. No, come on.
They run around and do little, you know, circles on the field. No, you got to win a game.
They look like the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah. Oh, hey, they're coming here soon.
So I know. We just talked about them last hour.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I love this.
Yeah, but this is the first divisional round without Brady, Rodgers, Big Ben, or Peyton Manning since the 2002 season. So it is great to see.
Changing of the guard.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And as a Packer fan, I don't weep in front of men, but I could weep right now openly about that debacle against the Lions. Oh, my God, that was pathetic.
The Packers were never a team that was right all season, just like the Bucks.
They didn't have the chemistry.
Yeah, and they didn't have the weapons on offense, and they didn't have the health on the offensive line, and their defense was inconsistent.
Our family just bleeds Green Bay Packers because my grandfather raised me. Then my boys have been to Lambeau many, many times. So my son, he remind me a lot of in Denver, businessman. He just does the analysis, and he gets infuriated. None of us are Rodgers fans because, you know, kumbaya, he's out there, but he's a me guy, without a shadow of a doubt. But they never did put the pieces. You never saw a big free agent signing to bring in a receiver. You know, they've done a great job at their running game, and when they had the chance, they let Devontae Adams go to the LA Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, and that was kind of a spit in his face. And then he had to deal with all these rookies. And when Kevin Lazard, who I know him very well, he went to Urbandale High School in Des Moines, Iowa, and played Iowa State, and his father, when he was your go-to guy, and he was undrafted, that tells you a lot about your offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first play of the season I remember was a ball that just bounced straight off one of the Packers wide receivers.
It was Watson, who's coming to his own. He's a Plant High School graduate, by the way, and he came on to his own. Once he had some success, he had a great second half of the season.
And he was, that's how
they hit him. Rodgers just drilled him.
Drilled him.
It was embarrassing.
I mean, it was like that Mike Evans pass that went just straight through his hands. You know, yep. I mean, it's those two teams had a lot of parallels between them, and the Bucs just got lucky that their division was by far the worst in football, and the Packers didn't have that kind of a blessing this year.
And at home.
Yeah.
Everything to win Lambeau.
It's time to tear down Lambeau. You guys need a
dome. Oh, no.
You need a dome, Mike.
God.
You guys
oh, my God.
Mike, I'm sorry to
tell you. Blasphemy.
I know.
I'm sorry to tell you.
That's like tearing down. No. That's like tearing down a church, Ben.
You guys can't play.
That's like, hey, listen, baseball. That's like tearing down Wrigley and putting a dome right down there in Wrigleyville.
I'm sorry.
Oh, now you pissed me off.
Sorry, but you guys can't play in the gold. You guys can't get it done at Lambeau anymore, Mike. You got
to
get rid of it.
That's true. Look at the Bucks did to us 2 years ago. I thought I was going to throw up that game.
You guys should be an arena football team up there.
Yeah, well, they have an arena football team.
Exactly. Put them in.
But pathetic.
That comment about Wrigley made my heart stop there for a second.
Oh, my God.
Don't do that.
All right. So your prediction this weekend, we got enough time for all of you. Who's gonna come out of these games?
I like the Eagles over the Giants, but just by a hair. I like the Chiefs, obviously, to get it done. The Bengals-Bills is a complete toss-up. I mean, the DeMar Hamlin factor cast a huge shadow over that game, but I think I'll take the Bengals if Joe Burrow's...
Joe Burrow, born and named Iowa.
And Cowboys-Niners, I think it'll be a great matchup, and I like Brock Purdy to keep the magic going.
Iowa State University.
I was pretty sharp last week. I think the only pick...
Purdy sharp? Pretty.
Pretty sharp.
Okay.
The only one I really got wrong was the Bucks game. I was really sold on the Bucks, but I think the Jags are going to come out with a win today. Giants, Eagles. I think Giants magic comes to an end. Eagles are going to pull out a win. Bengals versus Bills. If DeMar Hamlin is on the sidelines, Bills win. If he's not, Bengals win.
Damn, you're putting a lot of stress on that kid. He's
the emotion.
He's lucky to be alive.
If he's on the sideline, he's going to get the guys going. And then last, you have 49ers versus Cowboys. I think 49ers are going to get.
49ers are going to be in the Super Bowl, boys. I made that call 2.5 months ago.
He has to keep it going, though.
Yeah,
he will. He's got the weapons on. He started as a freshman. He's from Gilbert, Arizona, and he was always a gamer. And he keeps his composure. All right, young man, who do you like?
I mean, I'm looking at the Chiefs. I mean, that's number one. I'm sorry, I'm a Mahomes fan. I know.
I like Mahomes.
Yeah, I know. Ben's sitting there ripping on him constantly, but hey. And then, you know, in terms of the Bills and the Cincinnati game and all that, you know, I mean, Cincinnati's been actually decent this season, which kind of surprised
me. Yeah, they're doing the Super Bowl last year. They could be in the Super Bowl again.
It's possible. It's possible.
The line can hold up.
That's the key.
Yeah, true.
And they went and spent some money, and they still didn't.
Injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, probably Cincinnati for sure. And then I'm.
Who do you like, Eagles, Giants?
Oh, Eagles! Come on. I mean, it goes back to when I was younger. I mean, I always would sit there and root for either the Eagles or the Bucks. I mean, I remember...
He's from Pennsylvania, and he didn't even like the Eagles.
Oh, and my dad's from Pittsburgh, too, actually, so... Yeah. But I was always told in life, you know, root for the Eagles. I'm sorry. That my dad, I know that sounds a little religious. Obviously, for Pittsburgh, it's obviously the
same. Well, we did the same thing.
About that guy.
Yeah, we'd do a sign of the cross at my house, and then we would kiss the Packers logo game day. All right, I'm actually going Giants. I'm going to go Giants, and I'll take the points. Jaguars, Chiefs, been to Arrowhead many, many times, and it's an electric environment over there. I got to go Chiefs. It reminds me of what happened to TCU. With the Jaguars. I mean, they basically blew their, you know what, that game. Incredible comeback there in Jacksonville. So I don't see that happening. Bills, Bengals, if I was just going on a bet, I'd take the Bengals in the points. But again, it's in Buffalo. There's a lot of emotion involved. Take the Bills. And then, of course, I'm a Cowboy hater, and there I was at that game with all those Cowboy fans on Monday night, and Niners given the 4, and I like that, and then I like Niners in the Super Bowl, and I'm gonna say Buffalo Bills. So I'm kind of going chalk with the AFC, and in some circles more Chiefs. It could be Chiefs Niners, and we've seen that play out before too. Well, fellas, I appreciate you coming down. Your segments were as long as they like to be, but we'll get things organized and planned a little earlier next time. How's that sound? So for Mark Ferguson, Triton Softball, those girls were a blast, weren't they, Ben? Randy Grimes, Lynn Munoz, Murray, Ben Botham, Alex Reba, Joe Berto, Big Ed, and Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.